Welcome to the podcast series of the German National Dialogue Platform Smart Cities. Here you can get deeper insights into our topics. We examine the opportunities and risks of digitization from the perspective of urban development. Enjoy listening.
Hello and welcome to this episode, which is about data sovereignty and the question of how it can be realized in municipalities. My name is Tristan Fuhrmann, and I am glad that you are listening to us today. On November 19th, the dialogue platform Smart Cities hosted an international online workshop on data sovereignty in municipalities, which was supported by Eurocities, the network of 190 cities in 39 countries representing 130 million people. The workshop was attended by roughly 60 smart city experts and practitioners from 14 different countries. The participants looked into concrete use cases from Finland and Amsterdam and identified challenges and necessary actions for realizing data sovereignty in municipalities across Europe. One of the workshop's goals was to help establish a common understanding of what data sovereignty does and should mean for cities and their citizens and residents. To this end, Malcolm Bain delivered a keynote with the guiding question: how can cities ensure their own and their citizens' sustainable data sovereignty? Malcolm Bain is partner at Across Legal, a law firm in Barcelona focusing on innovation projects, startups, investment, and ICT law. Malcolm specializes in information technology and intellectual property law. He has a wide experience representing clients on both sides of IT transactions, including several public administrations. Malcolm has been advising public administration on digital rights and open technologies for many years, including open data and open source software, and lectures on the legal aspects of the open technologies in several universities, as well as participating in many conferences on these subjects. He's a member of the Free Software Foundation Europe. Malcolm, great to have you here with us today.
Good morning, Tristan, and thank you very much for inviting me to this.
Good morning, Malcolm. It's a pleasure to have you. Which are your key takeaways from the workshop on data sovereignty? Is there any specific idea or concept that made you reconsider your perspective on data sovereignty?
I think what was really interesting was seeing that so many cities are interested and concerned about data, the use of data, and data sovereignty. And so one of the key takeaways was that we're working together, and it's good to see that we have these type of workshops where we come to common understandings. So that's the first thing. The other one, I think, is that over and above the keynotes and it, but just listening to the other participants in the small groups we worked in, it's the complexity of this matter. Not just the sector, because there's data in terms of environment, mobility, social services, but also from a legal perspective. Don't forget, I'm a lawyer. There's key concepts such as ownership of data or ownership of rights in data, and who has those rights, and if you have those rights, how do you exercise them, and what rights does a city have as the entity looking after its citizens and visitors, residents. So there's many dimensions here which makes this issue very complex. And every time we came up with a challenge or a concept, you know, the different participants would bring in different dimensions. You know, oh, but this is difficult because we have private sector and we have to take into account consideration aspects and state aid, and we can't just grant data to everybody. And then someone says, yes, but there's also personal data issues, and how do we comply with the GDPR and whatever? So the takeaway is that we've still got a long way to go, but at least people are thinking about it, and I think we're progressing.
All right. Malcolm, in your keynote in the workshop, you introduced the concept of data as a city public good. And according to your input, the implications of such an approach would be that, first, a city's identity is made up of the data it has and the rights granted by its residents to use that data, plus, second, data is managed not just for citizen self-determination and freedom, but also used for city data-driven policies for the good of residents and visitors. Could you please elaborate in more detail on the concept of data as a city public good and specifically address the following question? What's the link between public data and the public good?
That's a difficult question. No, I think this goes to the root of the concept of data sovereignty, which, putting my hat as a professor of international law, is the question of self-determination. So the fact that what does a city need to be able to determine or to self-determine its own policies, its own infrastructures, and data has become essential to this. So when I say that it's a public good, it has both that it's an element of the sovereignty that's required for the city to be able to identify itself, who it is, how it works, what the challenges are, what its citizens want. So if a city doesn't have that data, then it's not sovereign, because it's not able to define its own policies. That's on the kind of like the incoming data input side. So the city needs that data, I think. And there's an interest of obtaining the data, not just from publicly run services, which is data which will be held in the public hands, but also from citizens and companies who are operating in the city. And there is an element of relevance or interest, public interest, in having access to certain data sets which are generated in the public, in the private hands. So that's on the inside. I think on the outbound side, the concept of data as a public good is the use of the data that is given to it by the city, that the city should be using data more intensively and taking better data-based decisions for improving public services, and even identifying public services and matching a city's public offering of digital services, for example, to the needs of the citizens. So if you've got a sector of the city which is excluded because of digital inclusion problems, digital divide, identifying those sectors and identifying based on real data and not just the impression one has of a certain neighborhood or a certain type of a sector of society. So I think it's important that the city be able to use this data for the improvement of public services. And that it's a circle, because obviously if you don't have the data, then you can't identify the right needs, and therefore you can't determine what your policies should be. So I think there's a virtuous circle here, that if you can define what is a public interest for the city, then you can be able to define maybe or identify at least some of the data sets which are required for managing, and therefore say, well, these are in public hands, this is easier to use, although there may be personal data restraints, there may be other restraints. But then also interact with the private sector and say, look, you have data about mobility, you have data about interaction, social interactions, you have data about anything, economic fitness things, and we would like to make a decision on this or policy based on this, and can we have access to that data so long as the private interest itself is protected? So private interest being either intellectual property or trade secrets, confidential information. Okay, so there's a balance there. But I think at the moment, cities lack a lot of information and data, and they need to find mechanisms to obtain that data to be able to make the public good decisions.
This is interesting. Could you think of practical measures for city administrations to narrow the gap between potentially available data and data the administration actually has access to already?
I think there's two ways of looking at this. One, I think, is the data the city has, obviously, the internally needs to be optimized. And this I've seen in several cities which are trying to remove data silos between departments and create a common data lake, where different departments and undertakings, public undertakings, can access data for their purposes, obviously subject to internal rules and confidentiality, personal data, etc. So there's a first practical measure, actually, for the cities, is to break down their data segments and make that more accessible to themselves, That's okay. The second one is access to data in private hands, and the in that second section, the first thing cities can do is to improve their contracts with private entities who are providing public services, through bids, tenders, whatever. And there's a lot of data generated by the private sector in public-private partnerships or in public tenders, where the data clauses can be improved so the city has access to that data automatically, I'd say, and in a format which is reusable. So that's those are the controllable areas. The more difficult one, obviously, is access, practical access to data which is in private hands, and creating an incentive for the private sector to share this with the city. And this could either be, as I said, on a voluntary basis. So, and this is where the Data Governance Act, which has just been, the proposal has been released by the European Commission, in this concept of data altruism, where citizens and private entities may declare that they are altruistic and they want to make their data available for a public interest. And that can be defined or it can be general. But it's an interesting concept and difficult to promote because of the hazy, difficult concepts of what's a general interest, how do you protect a specific private interest, how do you avoid discrimination and competition issues. But the it goes in the direction of saying that the citizens, residents, visitors, companies may have data which is not specific competitive advantage for them, but is very valuable for the city. Or it can be anonymized, pseudonymized, segmented in a manner that it doesn't prejudice their private interest. And therefore, it can be made available for public services. So finding these mechanisms, so setting up initially voluntary mechanisms. The most difficult one is the fourth step, which would be obligatory mechanisms. So how to work with the private sector, saying, look, we need data about health in this specific area of the city because there's high pollution, and therefore we need to collect more data about pollution or noise or whatever. And this is there's a public interest here, therefore we would like to have access to that information. That, I think, is the most difficult, but maybe where the most interesting data may come from.
Okay, coming back to the concept of public data as a city public good, do you think there should be rules to ensure that data is only collected, processed, reused when it contributes to the public good? If yes, how could this be operationalized? Which role would the city administration have to play here?
Well, this depends on what you call a public good. If it's anything that's within the public policies of the city for the benefit of the citizens, that's a very big and grey area. Saying that the data should only be collected and processed for this public good presupposes the question, what is the public good? But let's say we have a fairly general understanding of that. I think this is a bit limitative. As relating to public data or publicly held data, this is not the situation now, because we have the Open Data Directive, we have various regulations where publicly held data must be made available to citizens, to private companies, because under the data reuse, the reuse of information, of the public sector information. So I think data that's in public hands is not subject to these rules. The data that's in private hands and that is shared with cities or with other public administrations, there obviously the private sector has its own interest to ensure that the data is only used for specific purposes which the owner of the data set may establish. But it's very good to have common criteria as to what cities can do with transport data, economic data, mobility data, which may be in private hands. So I think there's a balance there, and I think there's a win-win situation where privately held data and these citizens may realize that there's a public benefit, personal and public benefit, to sharing more data, but provided that the rules can be set up that their own interests, for example, consent for processing of personal data, is respected. And this is, again, going down, the devil's in the details of how do you deal with, you have a city of 500,000 citizens, all of which have different degrees of consent for different uses of the data. You have a massive problem of dealing with the different rules, the different consents to the use of that data.
I would like to zoom out from your input to the workshop now a bit. In the course of your work on the ethical digital standards in Barcelona, you co-authored the so-called Manifesto in Favor of Technological Sovereignty and Digital Rights for Cities. One thing that struck me while reading is the fact that free software and open data are mentioned multiple times. Why do you think that free software and open data are so important for the digital sovereignty in municipalities? In Germany, there is a healthy skepticism towards this. It is even considered as a threat to cities' capacity to work efficiently and effectively.
There's a series of stages here I think we need to think about. The concept of technological sovereignty and digital rights is we believe in self-determining. Going back to this concept of self-determination, we believe in being able to determine how we operate, what services we provide, what digital services we provide, and how we provide those digital services. So I think this is the core of technological sovereignty is control and self-determination in terms of policies and infrastructures, and now data, which are things. And that's maybe one concept. Second one, digital rights. So in the coalition of cities for digital rights, we've established a common criteria on 5 principles in terms of digital rights. In terms of digital inclusion, access to the internet, access to digital services, transparency, auditability, protection, data protection and privacy. And the 5th principle talks about one of the means, actually, towards these ends, which is using open formats, open standards, open data, and when possible, when free software. So the manifesto is, I think, it comes under this 5th principle within our cities coalition, and goes to the root of the of a how as opposed to a what. So it's a means for the end. It's we are positing that one of the most appropriate or most favourable means of achieving transparency, auditability, privacy protection is through more open systems, open source systems, where the city has access to the source code and the data sets of its digital services, and they're not locked up in private code or private databases. So, and this is essential because in the long term, a city may change providers, it may change technologies, it may change infrastructures. And if it doesn't have access to the core elements, then it can't evolve. And if it needs to adapt rapidly or it needs to adapt to a certain specific policy, then I think it should have the right to be able to adapt those services. And that right is given better, let's say, through open source software. So it's a freedom to operate in that sense for the cities, to avoid vendor lock-in and data silos, and basically ensure sustainability for their infrastructures. They're not locked into specific long-term contracts or long-term technologies, which in the end may have to be changed at a higher cost. So we were promoting, and we still promote very strongly, the use of open standards, open formats, and open source as a means to achieve these core objectives in terms of respect for digital rights and technological sovereignty of the cities. Regarding the skepticism, I think, at least in my experience, it is healthy, and we need to have respect for this, because cities have been bound up with private vendors for so many years, long-term contracts, which are very good many occasions, but you know they may need to be changed. And what I think they're finding difficult, and this is where the skepticism comes in, is how to move or adopt open source technologies, open source methods, and changing the whole mindset or the way a city works in terms of technology. It's so much easier to say, well, I need a digital system service for managing public bids. Okay, and so I issue a tender, and then I have contractors who come in and provide me it. This is very much easy. it's much more difficult to say, to re-engineer that process and to say, well, no, I want to have control over the software which is running my public bids. And therefore, I would like to, you know, identify what is the most efficient software in the long term for that and how I can maintain my control and my the use of this software without being tied to private interests. So we're finding, for example, in examples that there's a lot of enthusiasm within city administrators and the technical departments for open source and establishing open data frameworks, but they're finding it quite difficult to change the internal processes, the contracting processes, the project management processes, towards more agile and more open methods. So I think the skepticism comes more from the how people are adopting open source rather than the concept itself. Of course, you know, we can have doubts about the concept and saying, well, open source is open for everybody and there's no specific data quality, you know, or quality of the code and security issues, et cetera, et cetera. But this is actually not much different from private software in that usually when you acquire an open source software, you don't acquire the technology. What you acquire is a contract with a tender, with a private entity who's going to deploy and support the technology. And that's where the quality comes in. So it's a mixed issue relating to what technologies we use, how we implement them, how we manage these projects, and how we interact with the private sector for the support for these technologies. And here I think open source brings a lot of value in terms of auditability, traceability, sustainability, and promoting the local ecosystem for ICTs, local open source support companies.
Based on your experience and your sharing of experiences within the Cities Coalition, are you aware of any concrete use cases, pilot projects of city administrations in Europe running on free and open software already?
There's a lot of use cases. If you go to the European Commission JoinUp website, there are over 1,000, if not 1,500, if not even more, use cases or case studies of public sector use of open source software, and most of these are municipal. And whether it's joint projects between a variety of municipalities, so cities who are pooling their resources, which is great in the open source manner, or larger federations of municipalities or federations of public sector entities, again, pooling resources to create a common platform. And an open platform, which is then adapted to the uses, the specific needs of the different members. So yes, there are many, many, many cases. Personally, obviously in Barcelona, we have been working a lot for the last 10, 15 years, promoting different projects like Sentilo, which is an Internet of Things data management platform. Barcelona Open Data Platform is an open source platform for cities to reuse in terms of setting up open data frameworks. There's internal projects in firewalls, security systems, which are all based on open source software. In Zaragoza, the neighbors here in Spain, I mentioned earlier that they are migrating a lot of the back end of the infrastructures of the city systems to Linux-based systems, to open databases, which is an easier way because, in fact, it's basically the administrative staff and the core technological entity, which is managing these, and it's moving towards, you know, long-term sustainable open source technologies. In Torino and Chisi in Piemonte in Italy, they are promoting the use of open source technologies in across the region, specifically obviously around Torino, and promoting the use, but again, sharing between municipalities is a major benefit. And reuse. And this is not just with the Piemonte region, obviously, it's obviously with Lombardia, with Venezia, Veneto, with various other regions where they are realizing that there are synergies, efficiencies, economies to be made through sharing common platforms.
Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and experience on free and open software. And thank you very much, Malcolm, for this very interesting conversation and your time with us here.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
This was the podcast of the German National Dialogue Platform, Smart Cities. We hope you enjoyed it. You can find further information on digital urban development issues on the Smart City Dialogue website, www.smart-city-dialogue.de. See you next time.